This is KWAI, Honolulu, 1080 on the AM dial.
You're listening to the Carol Cox Show on 1080 AM K108.
Here, 1080 AM. Yeah, once upon a time, there was a tsunami, but it's long gone. Anyway, it's time for the Carol Cox Show on this Sunday morning. And we have a couple guests in the studio this morning from the Friends of Heia, Kimberly and Carol. They'll be in the studio this morning with Carol Cox. Hi, Carol.
Hey, good morning. Thank you. And I see you're still dry.
Yeah, I am.
And I saw you running up the hill. But I was happy that I said, well, that's my man. He knows how to get out of harm's way.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, well, anyway, I hope everybody out there is well and paid attention to the danger call and don't second guess. If they call it tomorrow morning, don't say that. Well, they've four times now we have seen nothing. Well, it may be that fifth time, so I'd rather err on the side of caution than to die being just stupid. Anyway, I guess what this is a continuation, as I've told you out there, many of you. There's so many things and programs that are being impacted by administrators and politics and what have you. And so yet another one pops up on the radar, the Friends of Heia State Park. An organization that's been around for 27 years at that facility and have done some absolutely excellent work in communicating with the community and building programs and educating, and most of this was free, and it's something that's needed. So what they're now faced with is eviction. And I will tell you, I don't want to mislead you. Personally, I'm offended by the actions as I've read this and know of the work that they have done and how that they have been basically pushed out. But having said all of that, I'm going to let Carol McLean and Kimberly Lowe, who are both directors of Friends of Haiia, share their story, and I hope that when we shut down today that you're willing and excited about getting in and lending support. It's all of us are being impacted. So good morning, Carol and Kimberly.
Good morning, Carol.
So
thanks a lot for having us on your show.
Yeah, well, it's the people out there that's listening, so thank you. But I believe that once they hear your story, they will be astounded at what goes on and what good people have to tolerate each and every day when we get politics get in the way and what have you. And so this program is a benefit. There's no doubt that this program has benefited many people in the community of Kaneohe. So tell us about Friends of Haiia, where it's located, what you do, briefly, if you would.
Okay, well, I kind of long-winded. You can cut me off at any time if I'm going over my time, but this is a topic near and dear to my heart, and of course the Friends of Haiia. And it's really about you, listening audience. It's about the public good. It's about the public trust. It's about Hawaiian lands for Hawaiian people. And by Hawaiian, I mean all of us who live here. And some time ago, in the 70s, the former landowner was going to develop the land into a condominium complex, break down the fish pond, and make it into a marina. Because of the efforts of the community and the Friends of Haiia, that didn't happen.
Mm-hmm.
And after that community appeal, the state actually bought the land. And this is important to know, and I like to tell everybody this. The land was purchased through the process of eminent domain. I don't know if everybody understands that, but that's when the public trust comes before private interest. And the money that was given to the state to purchase the land was from the Federal Land and Water Act. And they specified that this was to be a public trust for the people. That's really important. So after the purchase of the land, the state was unable to provide stewardship and services at the park, and the Friends of Haiia were tasked with that duty. And I'm very proud to say we did a great job. We followed all the directions and plans that we were given, and we never received a penny from the state. This was all on the initiative and hard work of volunteers who created money and grants, and we only have the lease. Let me make this clear. We only have the lease for two buildings on the park. So our kuleana is two buildings. We don't have any control or authority over the rest of the property.
Of the entire park. You just have a portion.
And this is important to the story because those two buildings we shared with everybody, and we created all these very cool programs in Hawaiian culture and environmental education and even other programs that were of need to the community. All these are free of charge, free to the community. That's what we have done. It was clear to us 15 years ago that the state wasn't able to fulfill their end of the bargain, to create and provide safety and security. So we asked them at that time if we could take over the park, have a lease for the whole park. And that didn't go anywhere. That was just stalled on and on again and again. We finally convinced them of this 2 years ago, and we were told by DLNR that there were other people interested in the lease, and we were required to go through a bid process. Now, we agreed to do this if it was fair and equitable. However, we believe that the bid process didn't really take place like a bid process, and there was a pre-selection involved.
Mm-hmm.
And what that did was render the lease to a third party, who, in their offering to the state, you know, promised basically a kickback.
Now, this third party is Kamaaina Kids, Inc., I think it's... I hesitate to talk to my listening audience out there, you know, by not naming people, so I'll take the privilege of naming. It's Kamaaina Kids who has, it's a private company that is now
taking. Kamaaina Kids actually got their start in our office. They were one of the beneficiaries of our lease of the property. We offered them half of our office at one point in time where they started, and we were happy to have done so. They have used the park for their program, summer camps. We welcome them to come again. They are not qualified to manage a cultural resource and a historic site and a state park. And that is where we're at now. Laura Thielen, the chairman of DLNR, has informed us that on April 1st, we are to be evicted and surrender the property. This has become an ever-looming problem.
That's like getting a Dear John letter on Valentine's Day.
Well, this is April Fool's, Carol.
April Fool's Day. You got to be kidding. The state is evicting you on April Fool's Day.
They say no good deed goes unpunished, yeah.
Wow. Okay. Yeah, I hope you heard that one. I mean, at least if you're going to kick someone, allow them a little decency. Put a sheet over them or something. You know, shield them from embarrassment.
Well, we do have the lease paid through the end of August, correct? But we're being told that April 1st we need to be out.
And so try to just make this in layman's term without a public work to save this land, which is a beautiful spot. I don't know if all of you have gone out there to see it, but if you get a chance, go out there. It's by Hei up here in Kaneohe.
It's an amazing place.
Beautiful. And overlooking the bay and what have you and the sights. And hopefully you can talk about some of the historical significance of it, but in the cultural and Hawaiian context. But public works to save this. State doesn't work to save it. The public gets together ad hoc, right?
Always. That's the story.
But in this case, specifically, this case, they worked to put this together and lobbied for the monies and what have you.
If it wasn't for a community effort, which combined was then became the Friends of Heia, Kealohe Point, a very significant historic and cultural site of an old hill, Kalaiʻuluʻula, would now be covered with condominiums.
And so the public works together, saves this, helps get the money, then the state can't manage it, so the public puts together this group, Friends of Heia, composed of many of the people that work with it, and now the state wants to take that, which they've used federal funds for lands
acquisition,
and then hand it over to a private firm, so that they can get a 5%, as Lucretio, your attorney, and I was just really taken aback by the way he described it. It's he quote, "We believe the contract to Kamaʻaina Kids is a prejudiced contract, a prejudged contract," end quote. And he also said there was really no competitive bidding. Lucretio said that the Friends of Heia are prepared to make its challenge in court. And you have a court case, right?
And isn't it interesting that our court date was set for March 31st and our eviction is April 1st?
So explain that. I mean, I got some idea, but share with the public how that worked. You have a court case, and when does it, you go to court or hearing?
The story on this is an appeal.
Okay.
If you don't get what you want, it is your right to appeal. The appellate process in this case, with the lease for the Friends Heia State Park, that the Friends of Heia were one of three bidders, was put out, and the criteria was created by DLNR. A selection committee of DLNR employees decided who won the bid. And if you felt that it was not correct, you could appeal to the chairman of DLNR, who said, of course, no. Case dismissed. Our second appeal was then to DCCA, because in a first time ever, DLNR put a bid out as a procurement, mm-hmm. which takes it out of the Department of Land and Natural Resources and puts it into the Department of Commerce and Consumer Affairs. I don't know what you think, but when I think of a procurement, that's something you would get three bids for to repair a roof or trim a coconut tree. That's not a 25-year lease.
Mm-hmm.
But this is what they did, you see. And then Laura Thielen becomes the procurement officer, denies the appeal. Then we go to another department, completely independent, DCCA, and they also denied our appeal, so we had to file in circuit court.
Mm-hmm. And that case now sits in circuit court to be heard.
That's correct.
Now, there's also a claim that there was a term used by your attorney, a kickback, that they, Carmine Kids, has promised the state, DLNR, a 5% payment for the part of the lease. Can you explain that?
Well, it appears to be their reason for giving the procurement to this particular company. We understood that the state was broke. The state was out of money, and that they needed an agency to come in and help pay the bills. According to what we ascertained from State Parks, their annual contribution is about $72,000, which, if you know anything about budgets, is not enough to fund a position.
And this is $72,000 come from the state.
That's what they say they put into this park a year.
Okay.
And we understood that this competitive bid was for someone to take over those payments. They could not afford them.
Mm-hmm.
We did not understand that we were to give them money as well.
So, but nonetheless, even 5% and what is going to be gotten from that, that's public land. And the land would take care of itself. It has been, in fact. And there are other entities there that are using that land. They're going to evict you. That does not mean that other entities will not have access to that land, along with Carmine and Kids, correct?
The state says that it will still be a state park and nothing will change.
Mm-hmm.
It's hard to imagine how Carmine and Kids is going to have all these young children there, basically like a daycare kind of thing, and allow free access to everyone else.
Mm-hmm. So, anyway, this is the Carol Cox Show. If you'd like to comment or have an idea that you'd like to or want to participate in this call to action, so to speak, 524-1080. We will also be posting at carolcox.com, CARROLLCOX.com, more details of this, and I'm hoping Carol will accept an invitation to come back and talk about this in greater details, because what I've read, and I'm familiar with this about a year ago, I did extensive research in it, and it seems that this is yet another, it's in my own words now, this is not Carol's, anyone, friends of a hey is, but this is consistent with the behavior, this pattern that we are seeing at the DLNR. It's the slash and burn method, and I've written about that extensively in the Hawaii Fishing News, and we'll be writing more. Fishermen are simply frustrated, and we have people on the Big Island where Thielen wanted to delist a historical site from the historical registry, and on and on and on. So I hope that if some of you out there value the importance of having a facility like this available to those that can't afford it. Now, when Carmine Kids come in, I don't know if they're going to give it for free, but if they're going to give it for free, why then would they remove you? You're more knowledgeable. You have extensive knowledge. And tell us a story about the spirits, and just a bit what goes on and the significance of this site. But we got Debbie on the phone right now. And Debbie, are you there?
Hello. Yes, hello.
Good morning.
Good morning. I'm Betty. And, you know, I'm a resident of Kaneohe, and I'm concerned that if Kaneohe, Kamar and the kids, you know, has the control of the park, you know, that there won't be opportunities for the community to enjoy these free classes. You know, they have so many things for the seniors, which I am. And, you know, they also have all these other classes of Hawaiian culture and yoga. And they even just had a Valentine's Day dance, and I thought that was really great. But, you know, I'm just worried that, you know, how are we going to be able to do that and keep, you know, the body healthy and everything?
Mm-hmm.
You can't have certain functions if you have all the little kids' things around and toys, or I don't know. Maybe Carol can explain some of this. I don't know. I think it's so unfair that's what's happening. And listening to you, I'm thinking, oh, my gosh. So anyway, maybe she could address that issue about the residents of Kaneohe, how we can use it.
And it's open to the island-wide or statewide. I mean, anybody. In fact, people from out of country, from Canada come and other states, right? So yeah, briefly
yes,
share with us.
At the Valentine's Day dance, and that's so nice, Betty. I'm glad you enjoyed the dance.
Oh, thank you.
We've started having these tea dances, and the idea is to just get people together, enjoy ourselves, and meet each other informally. We made some refreshments. We got dance teachers out there from the Arthur Murray Studios, and they taught us some dances, and then we just had a great time. And, you know, all kinds of things like that, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And, yeah, it's hard to imagine how those things are going to continue if basically a full-time daycare kind of thing is being set up.
What are some of the things, Carol, that hula, do you teach hula there?
We have programs that we do, and we have programs that we sponsor from the community. In the evenings, we have a variety of performing arts, martial arts, kendo, hula, Tahitian dance classes, tai chi. We have a variety of senior programs, walking tours. You know, when we were properly funded, we were doing 11,000 school children a day in environmental education.
A day?
We formed an incredible intercollegiate research program to monitor streams and water quality monitoring.
Mm-hmm.
We worked with the university and HPU. We did some state-of-the-art stuff. But, Betty, in answer to your question, I don't really know, because we don't get any money from the state. I don't get paid. We're all volunteers. So without us, I can't really see that somebody's looking after your interests.
I know. Well, listen, I really hope you get it. You really do, for all of us. So hang in there. Thank you so much.
Thank you for calling.
Thank you. Bye.
Thanks. Now, I want to make sure everyone understands, because I'm rather volatile, because I'm a person that, when I get involved, it's a little late to sit down and hand out candy and warm tea. I'm not interested. That's just not my purpose in life. If I get involved, generally it's like it's almost flatlined, and I'm really in a frantic panic to try and resuscitate. But this one, I think anybody in their right mind in the administration would know the importance of this. They want to privatize everything. The parking. They want to privatize the boating. They want to privatize harbors. And this move to privatize. But the problem is, and this one, this is rather unique, the public fought to get this. They didn't have this in the state system. It wasn't granted by the federal government for what have you. The public. And so what a reward there is. What kind of statement is that for your hard work, general public? It would discourage me if I was a discouraging type, you know. It really would. I would never get out and fight for another cause if I were to see that they were going to develop it, put condominiums on the site. And this place is right over the bay, overlooking the bay. And you fight and you get out there and you're calling one another names and many hours, and how many people over the years have fought to get this? I can't imagine. And then Laura Thielen comes along with the directions of Linda Lingle to privatize, to get a small portion, this 5% of a Kamaaina kid's budget or profit, is it equal to the value that the public, that the community benefits from that park? Have they put a price on that?
No, it's invaluable. That's the whole point, Carol. The RFP that the state put out was very clear. And it said it wanted to find someone to run that place that was familiar with the community, the development plans of the city and county, the Kaneohe Bay master plan. We participated in and helped the state create an EIS and master plan for Hei'ia State Park. They've never done one thing to implement it. Not one thing.
Mm-hmm.
More disturbing are the cultural sites. Kamaaina kids did a presentation at the neighborhood board. And their presentation was about how they would use the property for summer camps, daycare, and their programs. There wasn't any awareness or knowledge of the historic sites. This was shocking and alarming to the neighborhood board. They voted, I think unanimously, with perhaps two abstentions.
Now, which neighborhood board is this?
Kahalu Neighborhood Board number 29.
Okay.
That they did not want Kamaaina kids to manage the park. This has absolutely no impact on Laura Thielen.
It presented a plan that included a pier. There were some
cabins, buildings, retreats,
mm-hmm. And then there were these. They had made a diagram that had these dots on it, and it's indicating where different activities would take place. Some of those dots were on top of places that cannot be destroyed, EV included. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, that tells you that they have no idea what they might be destroying, and yet they've already presented a plan which DLNR seemed to have no problem with.
Mm-hmm. Well,
so was it done on merit? Were they chosen on merit? That's what you have to ask yourself.
Well, it seems to be, I'll answer that question. It's consistent with other actions in the closure of Kapapa Island and Kaina Point and other fisheries. This sounds like very little thinking and sensitivity to the community went into this one, too. But what I want to know is that this proposed pier, and that's going to increase the use by bringing ecotourism, quote ecotourism, and a large number of kayaks.
They were talking about something with kayaks. Yes, they said. Did they say 70 kayaks?
I thought it was 30 to 50 kayaks per day. Here's the other problem, Carol. It appears that the rules are going to change for the use of Kaneohe Bay for Kamaaina kids than it was for the Friends.
Mm-hmm. Now, is this activity that Kamaaina kids proposing, is it consistent with the recommendations of the Kaneohe Bay Advisory Committee?
The Regional Council?
Does it conflict with that?
Yes.
Now, the next question I have is, what's the status of the Regional Council, the Kaneohe Bay Regional Council?
Oh, that was the other thing that apparently they mentioned at the Kahulu Neighborhood Board that they're trying to get rid of the regional council.
Mm-hmm.
DLNR is basically saying they don't have the money to manage it, which it's pretty much run by the people who go.
They don't buy the gas for the people to drive there, and it's just maybe they don't even provide a room to have a meeting, do they?
But for economic reasons, they can't do that anymore. And there was a protest from the neighborhood board because that regional council, that task force, was a process that the whole community over several years brought out and discussed all these issues, and it wasn't easy to come to an agreement. And then after all that, to just set it aside,
mm-hmm.
it's really a concern because,
I attended the last regional council, and it was remarkable. You know what I found out? The regional council was set up by the Kaneohe Bay Master Plan Task Force, and I found out that DLNR is going to disband it. But what was more surprising is it appears there are staff members in DLNR that they have formed their own committee. And my objection at that time was, no, there is a body that's already, been mm-hmm. Appointed to address the concerns and conflicts in Kaneohe Bay. But instead, it appears Laura Thielen has created her own body and can't afford, she said, or her representative said, they cannot afford to send staff members to nighttime meetings. It was too expensive.
Right. Well,
but they were at the neighborhood board.
I smell a rat, and a big one. And you know, one of the things, if I was going to do something sinister, this is consistent with what I would do if I was going to trick the public. And that would be to kick you out, bring in Kamina kids, and then they have practices and things that they want to take, implement, kayaks and commercial renting, whatever it is, that they're going to do it for business, and they're going to pay 5% to the state, supposedly. That's my understanding. So now, what's the obstacle? The obstacle is...
witness.
If you got a... Yeah, witness. You are the witnesses. So get rid of the advisory board.
Including the regional
So
council.
That makes me think they don't really want to hear what the community has to say.
Well, no. Well, I'll answer your question, too. Don't think it. That's the facts, because they're icing you out. I'm teasing you. But they're icing you out. Like you say, getting rid of the witnesses.
Mm-hmm.
Ice you out. Get rid of you. 27 years of experience, and they're going to go with an entity that's going to pay them 5% of what profit? Or what? 5% of what?
And that regional council went through issue by issue in Kaneohe Bay. There was input from the whole community, heart and soul. They
both Kimberly and I participated.
We participated
that.
20 years ago, this was. Yeah.
So if you get rid of the advisory board who say, no, we don't need an expansion of commercial activities in the bay because it's detrimental and conflicts with the management of this area, the wise use of it. But I'll share a little insight that I learned firsthand from DLNR. They're kicking the people off the Kapapa Island. They're taking action. They're revisiting that, how the people access that. Because they want to protect the birds. But what I learned directly from DLNR staff is that they're going to increase the number of kayakers that go to Kapapa Island.
And the islands off of Kailua.
This specifically one, and for the birds. So they're going to restrict the public and then let you come on by permit. The idea behind all of this was to make money, so that's why they're going to increase the use of kayakers. Kayakers will have the use. So what's the difference between a fisherman and a kayaker when it comes to supposedly caving in the nest of the ground burrowing birds?
Yeah. Well, actually, the fishermen, you know, this was discussed as part of that task force and regional council.
Mm-hmm.
Kapapa Island specifically was discussed, and the impact to it, and family after family described how they were taught to be so careful when they go there. They pick up their trash, they watch carefully, because these birds are, they're nesting kind of like underneath a layer of leaves and things.
Right, and the sand.
They talked about how they were taught to be so careful there. Now, you bring in ecotourists, if you will. Do you educate them as well as those families that have been going there for really generations?
Well, here's what's sad. So I'm told by management of DLNR, the reason they're going to increase the kayakers and get the permit is that they're going to use the money from the kayakers to pay the so-called overseer of the Kapapa Islands and the other islands.
So what, they're going out with a guide?
They're supposed to be a caretaker of some sort. I mean, I've seen these guys and you know, care of nothing. Anyway, Sandra, you got a comment?
Yes, I wanted to say that I totally support what they are doing or they're trying to do, but people have to understand that when you're dealing with Laura Thielen, it is a total different, I don't know, it's just, She is a snake. She's bigger than a rat. She will try and chew you up and spit you out in your attempt to keep your program going, you know.
Mm-hmm.
I just wanted to say that Laura Thielen and her entourage of people will try to destroy anything that is of Hawaiian culture or historically, should be historically preserved. She has no aloha. She don't care.
What
she has no heart.
You're describing something.
We need to understand this is how this woman is, and we need to band together and fight her. Mm-hmm. And that's all I have to say.
And thank you, Sandra. And on that note, if, in fact, any of you out there, I mean, I'm not ashamed of if someone says, oh, you're a journalist, and, well, I didn't read the book on a journalist. And in this town and day and age, I haven't met a journalist that isn't influenced by something. So I'd rather have my feelings influence me, and I'll publicly admit that. What I would say is that in this situation, where would people write to you, or how do they get involved? How do they contact you? Can you give that information right quick?
We have a website. It's www.friendsofheia.com. So you just run it all together, yeah? Spell it out with no spaces. FriendsOfHeia.com. And you can also contact us by phone at 247-3156.
Mm-hmm. Polka, are you there? Good morning.
Yes, good morning. Am I on?
You're on, Polka.
Oh, yes. Aloha, everyone.
Aloha.
You know, as I'm driving back to Waianae and I'm listening to this very interesting program, but I'm seeing two separate venues, sort of. One is a court hearing that is coming up, and that whole process of appeal, first level appeal, second level of appeal, and now a court hearing, all based on an RFP that has been scored, and I guess the appeal is based on the scoring was inaccurate because one organization as compared to another organization should have been scored differently. The other discussion is more the public discussion in terms of policies, in terms of preservation of sacred sites, what programs are being run, and how the public is being benefited or not benefited. When the arguments hit the court's limited oversight is just going to be on the RFP, whether or not the scoring was appropriate, and so I think the real if you are looking at the court coming in and being the lease is going to have to be based on what were the standards that were decided, because the RFP is very clear. It will tell you how many points you get for one thing, how many points you get for another thing, and if you are going to overthrow the decision made by the division or by DLNR, it will only be based, as far as, from my opinion, on how the court sees whether or not the proposal submitted was graded appropriately. Now, this 5% increase or contribution back to DLNR, if it was not contained in the RFP, but they did credit it as an example, then you can come in and say that it needs to reissue the RFP because it was not scored fairly according to what they claimed the scoring would be. All the other discussions about how long one organization or another organization had been, good the organization is, and reflective of the public counts for more the general discussion. But when you get into the court, you're going to get smashed unless you tie it to the RFP.
Mm-hmm. And
so that's the comment I wanted.
Well spoken and appreciated. That's the courtroom.
Yes.
But what I like about life is that having tried to navigate the courtroom, it's frustrating because you see, Thielen and her advisors, she has an attorney general on staff to advise her of those. No sound.
Yeah, I'm sorry. Hello? Hello?
Yeah, we lost you there. You there?
Oh, yeah, I'm still here.
Okay, we had a little technical problem there.
Okay.
But what is happening is that it's so easy, and unfortunately the public don't know this, they can orchestrate, do things, knowing it'll fit just that recipe or fit that to make it in the court, and you lose. So that's why I like doing what I do, the courtroom of public opinion, because without this, the public would never know, because the judge wouldn't allow in the RFP these discussions to go on. So I appreciate what you're saying, and it is logical and it is legal, but in my opinion, bringing to the public the nonsense. The courts don't evaluate nonsense. They look to see if it's consistent with the rules of the court and what have you. And so, point well taken, Kapoka.
Okay, thank you very much.
Thank you.
Aloha.
But you have a comment on...
Well, I think the caller's point is well taken, and I think that what the friends have had to do is kind of fight a battle on three fronts,
mm-hmm.
or a war on three fronts, three battles, you know. And we have retained an attorney
mm-hmm.
who is actually very generous, since we're a really nonprofit. We have no funds, serving pro bono. That's a little bit different. That case, and the caller's correct in his... description of you know what we have to prove there, that's different than what we came to talk about today. We're looking at a pattern, DLNR repeatedly trying to dismiss public choices and public access and uses of our common good.
Yeah, I think what Polka is saying is just giving you the legal aspect, because I'm sure that he himself daily, when he comes, he has a show here prior, and those issues. I mean, he appeals to the public, too, because if you waited for the courts, and this reminds me of something I always think about when it comes to courtroom of public opinion and in the courts system. It reminds me of the cows that are out in pasture. They know one thing, and this is what the courtroom does for you. If you understand the courtroom, you're being set up for slaughter. You see, like the cows in the pasture, they're given this beautiful area to graze and eat and keep their heads down, and it's peaceful. But the end result is somebody is behind it pulling, and they're going to eventually end up being slaughtered. I don't like that part of it. See? So, yes, and it is critical that we talk about the many years you put there, because if we ignore that, that should count for something. And it seems that they rode the wave with you and touting this program as being great and successful. Now, all of a sudden, abruptly, 5%, what's the value? But about the historical aspects of that, the LaWire and things, can you talk about that briefly?
Oh, yes. I have been very privileged to have been taught by many of our kupuna, and the heiau, Kalaiʻuluʻula, it was probably constructed in the 1400s. But more than the material culture, more than the things Hawaiians built, there is a strong energy channel. I don't know if you believe in this kind of thing, Carol, but I can assure you that this is a lele or a lena, very much like Kaʻena Point.
Mm-hmm.
This is a very, very strong energy, spiritual point that Hawaiians were very much connected with. And there are many people that come to our park today who sense it and feel it. Our job as interpreters of culture and history is to explain to people about that and to keep people aware and understanding that these are supernatural forces. A lele is something described in many of the Pele chants and legends. It's a channel, it's a funnel to the other world. Tehe'ia is the judgment grounds. And those who lead a good and just life go to He'ia Kea, through this channel, to the next world. Those who do not lead a good and just life and are selfish and performing for their own ends will go to He'ia Uli, the dark side, where they will dwell in the underworld. So this is a very, very important cultural, historical site, not only recognized by Hawaiians, but also Polynesians. We have hosted many Polynesian groups who who have the exact same interpretation of this place. It's a marae. It's a lighthouse of energy and knowledge.
Mm-hmm.
The meaning of ke alohi is shimmering,
mm-hmm.
brightness. It, without a building and a light there, there is something that everyone can feel, regardless of what you know. If you allow your senses to mm-hmm. engage, there is something really, really special there.
Now, I always hear these arguments about, well, you know, maybe you just want it because you're being there for a while and you think you own it. And all. This is much, much more than that. This is a situation where the practices that you've performed there and the things that you've done benefit the public. The manner in which they're going to go, they're going to take a different route now, completely seems to be contrary, because I don't know of Kamaaina kids' history and dealing with cultural richness, cultural issues, education. I don't know of their, and I've done some research on their, I don't know that they are in that business of marketing. I don't see in their proposals or in their job, in their description, what their mission statement is to educate and maintain and preserve and know of the historical sites and the values and what have you. I've not read that in there. So
I can just say from experience, I used to go to Hongwanji, which was a cultural center. There was every form of generally Asian martial arts, traditional, all kinds of different cultural activities. You know, for me, I was with the Warangdo, there was Kendo, there were all these different things going on. Go to Hongwanji now. I don't go there now. A lot of people that used to don't go there now because that has been lost.
Who took over? Or where did it go? If it was lost, who was it lost to?
Oh, that it was the Kaneohe, the Kamaaina kids.
Kamaaina kids took over that one.
The Hongwanji.
And if Ray Sanborn out there listening and others that are part of Kamaaina Kids, if you'd like to come on the show and talk about it, please give me a call at 782-6627 or carol@carolcox.com. I'd like to hear you have your comments and provide you with an opportunity. But we'd like to ask some extensive questions. But we got a short time coming here. But if you want to have a comment and send in, don't feel like calling in. TheCarolCoxShow.com. Just go there and you can see the blog link and send a comment. But anything else that you'd like to offer here with this subject?
Yeah, I'd just like to say in summary, what I have learned is the land speaks. No profitable enterprise has ever been successful in making money at Ke Alohi. The proper thing to do is offer stewardship, and we believe we can create state-of-the-art culture and art center that would be the pride of the Windward Side.
Mm-hmm. Well, you know, I'm still digressing back to the other comment, you know, about the courtrooms, and having knowledge of how government works, having worked for government, and they can steer you, strip you of any argument you have, because they know once you enter court and once you file a case, the courts dictate what you can say, what will be heard. It's the thing would be, that's irrelevant. Objection, Your Honor. And so you, the public, like that cow in the pasture, you're being raised, and eventually they are the farmers. They are the ranchers, DLNR. And in other state agencies, government agencies, they are the ranchers. And so to put all your trust in a courtroom, just know that they know how fast the saw spins. They know how cold the freezer is. They know what the butchering process is. You as a citizen don't know that. And so, out there, don't rely completely on the courts, because this case, by the time they make it to court, it's already been packaged in a manner, and they already have their arguments, because as they went along stripping you and preparing to divest you of the right to be there or the agreement, they put the RFP out, it's questionable. And I've looked at the RFP, and there's some serious questions about that. But the problem is, who do you go to challenge the RFP before you go to court? Who?
That's right. Even when we went to the
Laura
board.
Thielen.
You go to Laura
Thielen.
Exactly. You go to the butcher.
Right.
Right, or the rancher.
Feel like lambs led to the slaughter.
Yeah. I mean, I hate to be so graphic, and I know it's probably sickening here, but that's the equivalent. I mean, you know, lawyers have great understanding of the court system, and they, too, know how to work it and walk it.
That's what's so frustrating. They just sterilize it and take all the content out of it.
So when you're eating that hamburger, you don't know what went on behind the scenes to get...
Well, Carol, that's why we're here. We're asking the public for their support.
Yeah.
We know we can't do it alone.
Yeah.
We know that only through community support will we be able to successfully realize our dream
and keep this place open to all of us.
Well, I want to thank both of you for coming in, and please come again in the near future. Don't hesitate. And I'm not ashamed of getting involved with something and bringing it out to public, because I've been there. I know how the system worked, and I wouldn't trust getting this to court personally, because it's a slaughterhouse. Way Thielen has set it up, the land board rubber stamps it. She goes back and sits on another appeals board, it denies it. DCCA denies it. But remember, this is what the rancher or Linda Lingle wants. She wants to privatize. That's what her goal is. So privatizing means that in the DCCA, when she put that guy in DCCA, he is part of the ranching process, slaughtering the lamb or the cattle. That's what it's about, taking and stripping the public of their right, what is rightfully theirs. Now, if any of you disagree, please don't hesitate to write or call me and tell me that I'm off my rockers, but I stand with my comments. And Kimberly Lowe, thank you for joining me.
It's my pleasure. Thank you for having us.
Carol McLean, thank you.
Mahalo.
And, again, that address for comments, right quick. And
our website is www.friendsofheia.com.
And spell that Heia.
H-E-E-I-A. It's just run it all together, no spaces. Otherwise, Google it. You'll get it.
Because there may be new arrivals that want to get involved with trying to find Hey
Please
EO, so.
Do, yes.
So thank you, and I appreciate your time. Don't forget now, guys, over at the Blaisdell right now is the Hawaii Ocean Expo. It's going on, and it is really awesome. The food is good. A lot of good things, a lot of good deals. So don't hesitate to go over there, and it is open now. Yesterday, the tsunami had an influence on it, but... today they're open, ready to rock and roll. So, again, thank you. And the Tina Quizon Show is coming up next. I appreciate you listening, and please don't hesitate to call or write. Aloha.
Listening, and tune in again next time for the Carol Cox Show on K108.
This is KWAI Honolulu 1080 on the AM dial.